From Jefferson Public Radio, I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another JPR Live session. Joining me today in the brand new performance space, the biggest band we have had to date. It's the Milk Carton Kids. Their newest record is called All the Things That I Did and All the Things That I Didn't Do. And on mics, Kenneth Pattingale, Joey Ryan. Hello.
Thanks for having me. You mean the biggest, like the most members in the studio.
Most members, most inputs, all of that.
Yeah. I thought he meant the most famous.
No.
Thanks for being
most
here, guys.
Successful.
I knew that's not what he meant.
This You're welcome. It was difficult for us to come down from our vaulted perch.
We have made your day
your
off a busy day.
Studio, yeah.
I'm glad you're here.
We're very happy to be here.
It's beautiful here.
You guys are close to the end of a tour, right? You must be looking forward to that.
Yeah, two more shows.
And then?
We both have other work that we do, but it's not as intensive as, you know, being on tour for a month.
Yeah. You guys are both originally from the Los Angeles area, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And as the story goes that has been published online, you guys came together as a result of Joey, you going to one of Kenneth's solo shows. Is that right?
Yeah.
What was the occasion to go? Like you just saw it on a poster somewhere and said, I'm going to go check that guy out.
He won a ticket sweepstakes.
No. Unfortunately, there were no ticket giveaways for our shows in those days.
Actually, there were. I had some connections at KCRW, and I was running ticket giveaways.
Oh, really? You were
sadly
working.
The only people that showed up for the shows were the ticket giveaway winners.
I was invited by the owner of the club there at the Hotel Cafe, and he said, "You got to come down and see this new guy, Kenneth. His songs are really good." Kenneth was new on the scene, I guess. And I walked in, and Kenneth was playing a song that he had written from the perspective of a dead dog. The dog had just recently been hit by a truck and lay dying in the street, writing his last final memoirs. The song's called Memoirs of an Owned Dog. And I thought it was great and weird and dark and morbid. And I was like, I have to be friends with this person.
Did you guys click musically when you first got together?
We still don't. Kidding? It was the same then as it is now.
Yeah, no.
Very much so.
Yeah, the first time we played together was one of those revelatory experiences that you hear about, you know, when people come together and they sing and play together and it's just sort of immediate and obvious that you should drop everything else in your life that you're doing and just do that.
I'm thrilled you're here. You are not alone. You've got a full band, 7 players. Who is with you and what are they doing to help you out today?
Well, there's a pedal steel player called Rich Hinman, bass player called Ethan Yojevitz. Excuse me, it's early in the morning. A drummer called Jamie Dick, a keyboard player called Philip Cronengold, and a violinist called Jenna Moynihan.
And what are you guys going to do first for us today?
A song called Younger Years.
It's the Milk Carton Kids live on Jefferson Public Radio.
Above the plains of Omaha, I think of all the suffering I saw. Soaking of the pavement, sprawled upon a land without a law. Everything I loved, everything I found or I hoped for. Frightened, I'm surrounded, who else is there to turn to anymore? Oh, I held out my heart. Oh, I held out my heart. Held out my heart. There was a time I spoke the truth, but my younger years were wasting on my youth. Somewhere I awakened with a crack to a pounding on the roof. Sure, I heard the sound as evidence, or better yet, as proof. I was naked as the day that I was born, beneath the fullness of the moon. Oh, I held out my heart. Oh, I held out my heart. Held out my heart.
That is called Younger Years. It's the Milk Carton Kids playing live for us today here on JPR. Their new record is called All the Things That I Did and All the Things That I Didn't Do, and we've got seven of them here in our studio today. It's beautiful stuff. Thank you for that song. Yeah. Were your musical backgrounds coming up at all similar to the kind of music that you guys have been making as a duo or now as a full band?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, you mean like the stuff that we liked as kids? And,
yeah, or were exposed to?
Yeah.
Didn't have to like it, but stuff that you heard?
Yeah, definitely. I especially was, well, speak for myself, I was completely raised on, you know, the folk and rock music from the 60s and 70s, and especially the harmony stuff. Probably the thing we listened to the most in my household growing up was Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Mm.
Yeah. How about you, Kenneth?
Yeah, I guess it's all in there. I mean, necessarily it's all in there. But I don't know. I played cello from a very young age and learned classical music. But then also at that time I was listening to Guns N' Roses and Metallica and Nirvana and all of that. And so I don't know which part of that made it into our band, but it's in there somewhere.
Hmm. Through your first few records, the focus is obviously, as a duo, it's on sweet two-part harmonies, but also songs that tend to breathe really well. You know, they're not busy, they're not packed, they're not rushed. Was that an intentional direction for the two of you trying to write songs together, or is that just what came out of your partnership?
Yeah, we had to figure out how it all fit together. The thing is that when we first started and it was the two guitars and the two voices, it felt complete. We never heard it and thought, oh, there should be a bass on this, or, you know, we were necessarily thinking that these things had to exist on their own in that sense. And you know, so you'd look a lot of places for direction, and the first place or the final place you look is to your ears and with your gut and your heart, and try to feel what's truthful and what feels complete in what you say. But then also there's some, you know, there's some shorthand. There's some people that came before us that you can look to and sort of figure out what might help you get there. Mm-hmm. You know, one of them that comes to mind is Gillian Welch and Dave Rawlings. They kind of taught a lot of us how to arrange a song for just two guitars and you know, I guess in that band more often than not one voice. But they did a lot of work in sort of establishing how you can make that feel whole. But it also goes back to, again, what we were talking about. You know, a lot of my classical experience was in chamber music, and the fundamental tenet of chamber music is using three, sometimes two, sometimes four voices to paint a complete picture. And Joey and I have always considered that are the four elements in our band as all having equal weight and responsibility in combining to make a thing that's always, you know, where all four parts are aware of one another and are servicing one another to tell a story.
Yeah. Well, you've definitely changed things up with this new record. We'll talk about the additional forces behind the full band and the new record in just a minute. The Milk Carton Kids are my guests live today on Jefferson Public Radio. That new record, which is out on Anti, is called All the Things That I Did and All the Things That I Didn't Do. We've got them all here in our studio. What do you guys want to do next?
We're going to do a song called I've Been Loving You that should have just been called Loving You, but Joey had some weird hang up about that, so he decided to add words to the title.
I've been loving you the way I wanted to, the way I thought that you wanted my love. I've been loving you, been loving you all day long. But the light has come to me. I cry.
That is, I've Been Loving You, or Loving You if you go back to the original intention, I suppose, right? It's the Milk Carton Kids playing live for us today here on Jefferson Public Radio. Their new record is called All the Things That I Did and All the Things That I Didn't Do. Is there a particular story behind the title of the record?
Yeah, we just wanted to add more words to titles because it was a thing that Joey started.
I think Fiona Apples got the record for it.
Mm-hmm. Her album just has an ellipses.
Exactly.
The Idler Wheel, dot, dot, dot.
Before the tune, and obviously in the performances, there's a lot more going on these days than just the two of you. After a few records of it being just a duo, you didn't just add one, you added a whole bunch of people on stage. Why? What was the decision to make such a drastic change in sound and direction?
We're socialists. We hate money.
Well, that definitely does add a different aspect to the concept of touring, doesn't it? Paying all of the people coming along with you.
Yeah. They deserve it.
The reason there's so many people on the tour is because there's so many people on the album. And that, so the album wasn't made with a particular plan for touring. And the concept for the album was you know, we knew we wanted it to be heavy on pedal steel, that a pedal steel was going to be one of the defining instruments. No, we had some players in mind specifically that we knew we wanted to play with on the album, which included Russ Paul on pedal steel and Jay Belrose on bass, and on drums, and Dennis Crouch on bass. And so that, you know, the album sort of formed around that core idea there. And then because of this sort of expansive yet tight-knit community of musicians that we're a part of in Nashville, and recording in Nashville over the course of 10, 12 days, whatever it was, just a lot of people came by. And it was a shame, you know, it'd be a shame to have somebody like Nat Smith in the studio with his cello and not ask him to play.
Yeah.
And, when Kenneth ran into Pat Sansone from Wilco at the grocery store, you kind of have to ask him to come down to the studio and do some keys. So he ends up being the keys player for 4 days, and we ended up with an album that had that, you know, it goes all the way from like somewhat more minimalist approaches like what we were used to, all the way up to, on one particular day, there was 11 people tracking live together. And then when we were finished with the album, we looked at it and we said, what can we do on the road that's going to basically make it, that's going to be true to what this idea turned into? We realized that we needed 5 more people.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned the finances. Obviously, that plays a part in bringing a big crew out on the road. Is this your first time as a full band out on the road touring?
Yes.
What kind of challenges or experiences have popped up that were unexpected?
I mean, they were all expected. We expected to have all of the challenges and all of the problems, and sure, they came a flooding in.
Yeah.
It's hard to be with a lot of people in such close quarters for a month.
Is it busier?
Oh.
Like, just more logistics to figure out from getting from city to city?
We got a guy for that.
Not that it was, so maybe not a lot of the challenges were unexpected, but, you know, we used to show up at the venue at 4:30 and have a 20-minute sound check and then go to dinner. And now we get there earlier in the day, you know, noon or something, and we have a 4-person crew that has to load everything in for 2 hours. They're the hardest working people on the tour. And then, you know, a couple hours later, we all trickle onto the stage and the sound check's like 90 minutes. And it just turns into a full day of work. Whereas before, we toured more like, you know, like a stand-up comedian, where you kind of show up, make sure the mic's working, and go to dinner and come back and do the show. It was just logistically way more streamlined. A lot of people look at us like we're crazy now to have, given that up. But personally, I've enjoyed the camaraderie of a big group. You know, being out on tour for a month is, you know, especially being away from home and family, as everyone who's doing this knows, can be difficult. And so the fellowship that we've enjoyed with this big group of people who seem to get along really well, that's kind of been the thing that's kept me going.
Yeah. Quite a bit has been written about you guys and some of the outside music things that have come up between the last record and this record. Kenneth, I know you went through a cancer scare, thyroid.
Yeah.
I mean, other
than
just the scare, you had surgery. Were there concerns of how it would affect your ability to sing?
Oh, well, definitely there were concerns.
I was concerned.
Oh, were you?
And it's gone.
It's weird. The phone never rang. Some concern.
That is not true.
Some concern that never made
it to
the phone.
Well, you know, the thyroid gland sits on top of the nerves. I learned this from Kenneth. That innervate the vocal cords. So when you remove the thyroid gland, it's very tenuous in terms of not, you know, damaging the nerves that innervate the vocal cord. And if you do that, then, you know, you really can't really sing anymore. Yeah. So the doctors at Vanderbilt, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they did a really good job, and he sounds basically the same.
Yeah, I had the best care around. You know, at that point, you don't really worry about your career or your voice. You're preoccupied with some other things.
Yeah.
And all things being equal, I was sort of spared some of that grief based on the particular timeline of my situation. But very grateful to be here and to be able to express myself and vocally.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, it feels as good as ever. And yeah, I'm real thankful for that.
Cool. Glad you're doing well.
Thank you.
Before I let you go, Joey, I would be remiss if I did not mention your other gig outside of Milk Carton Kids, which is working on a show that we know quite well, live from here, with Chris Thiele. How long have you been involved with the show, and what is your role? We don't hear you on mic on the show, right?
Not very often. Sometimes I sit in the sketches if they need a particularly monotonous, dry character. but I came on last season as a segment producer. Chris Thiele is an old friend of ours at this point through music, and he and I have always had a very sort of open and honest relationship with each other in terms of our creative pursuits, which I value a lot. And so when we were talking about his first season as host, I told him all the things I thought were great and all the things I thought they could, that he could do better. And he asked if I would come on and help do some of those things. So the whole last season, I was just sort of kind of whatever Chris needs in order to, you know, realize his vision for the show, which is, you know, obviously been a big transition from what the show used to be with Garrison as host, to what it now is with Chris as host. So, again, I'm back this season, just continuing to kind of help make the show what Chris wants it to be.
Cool. Congratulations. And to both of you, congratulations on a really good new record
and a new
sound. I'm thrilled that you're here. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, of course.
The Milk Carton Kids are my guests live today here on Jefferson Public Radio. That record is called All the Things That I Did and All the Things That I Didn't Do. Kenneth Pattingale, Joey Ryan, and friends here in our studios. What do you guys want to wrap up with?
We'll do a song called Morning in America.
Streets are slick, thought about the ones I love. Tucked my chin into my coat, shrugged my shoulders, cleared my throat, walked the banks of the Ohio. Felt a chill to the bone. It's raining in Ohio. The streets are slick. It shows what I know. I hear their cries through my window. They're mourning again in America.
That is the Milk Carton Kids, Morning in America, played live for us today here on JPR. It's music from their new album called All the Things That I Did and All the Things That I Didn't Do. Kenneth Pattingale and Joey Ryan, along with the full band. Guys, again, thanks for coming by. It's nice to meet you.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Good to meet you.